if your business plan can survive 2 or 3 years of negative leverage, because you can take a low enough IRR that you can store enough cash on the side, then it is a great time. If your business plan is overly aggressive, or you're trying to seek a very high IRR at a velocity of capital deployment that's unachievable, then now is a bad time to make an investment. You might want to wait 12 or 18 months to do so.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
For those of you that don't know, Ben Lapidus, you need to know him. I've known Ben now, what's it been, 7, 8 years at this point?
Yeah, about that.
About that. Normally, Ben, I love to do a long-winded introduction about how great the guest is. You are a great guest. It's my honor to have you on the show today. But before I give you my own introduction, I'd love for you maybe just to come on the show today and tell us a little bit about who you are, and then we'll get into it from there.
Yeah, I'm the founder and host of the best ever real estate investing conference, not the brand, just the conference, and was a founding team member of Spartan Investment Group, which bought $500 million assets under management in self-storage. Recently retired, but have a long history of buying single family, multifamily self-storage assets over the last 12 years. Prior to that, was in the ad tech space, learned a lot about big data, started a study abroad company in Costa Rica, and have tried several other startups that failed. So I'm an entrepreneur at heart and can't wait to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Dude, that's a whole lot. I mean, my gosh, that's a lot of moving pieces there. Most recently, you were, like you mentioned, a partner there at Spartan Investment Group, where you guys bought an absolute ton of self-storage. Why don't you just give us maybe a high-level view? We're recording this, it's end of February 2024, a high-level view of where self-storage is now, and then maybe as what you see across the commercial real estate space as a whole.
Yeah, so self-storage still has incredible fundamentals. When you look at the supply demand of self-storage, it's gone from 1 in 11 households to 1 in less than 9 households are leveraging self-storage or consuming self-storage just over the last 5 or 6 years. That's an incredible shift in demand in a 5 or 6 year period. Yeah. Simultaneously, construction costs going up, interest rates going up have made new supply difficult. So the fundamentals that drive storage is still in a very attractive asset class. That's on the consumption side, on the consumer side. On the investor side, investors have wised up to it. So it's become incredibly competitive. And the spread between what you can get on the equity side versus what you can borrow on the debt side has been radically compressed. And it now mirrors one of the major 5 food groups. You've got all of this office money, which was the largest component of commercial real estate, coming out of office, and its number one place to place it is self-storage. And that's just a lot of moving money. So from an investment perspective, the supply and demand isn't as attractive as it used to be. So I think what we're going to see over the next 2 years is, do rates compress faster than cap rates? And do the supply and demand economics on the consumer side kind of create a skyrocket effect of occupancy and rental rates such that it's attractive enough despite the competitiveness on the investment side?
Wow. That's an impressive insight there. So yeah, I guess, you know, in short, is now a good time to be investing in self-storage?
Now, there is never a bad time to be investing in self-storage. To be clear, it's recession resistant. It's always going to go up because of those supply demand economics. It's just, is this the best time to generate the cash flow that you need to kind of cross the chasm if you're buying in a negative leverage environment? And so it's really about your business plan. If your business plan can survive 2 or 3 years of negative leverage, because you can take a low enough IRR that you can store enough cash on the side, then it is a great time. If your business plan is overly aggressive, or you're trying to seek a very high IRR at a velocity of capital deployment that's unachievable, then now is a bad time to make an investment. You might want to wait 12 or 18 months to do so.
Right. What about that conversation with investors, like as in passive investors? How does that work when you're looking at deals that may be negative leverage? I mean, is that even a conversation that's being had?
It is. And that's because you just kind of find a different investor profile. As the yield moves from kind of value add to more opportunistic, you have to find the investors who are willing to take the risk return ride with you at the end of the spectrum where those yields are achievable and attractive. If you're trying to get, you know, a 6% cash flow with a 14% IRR on an asset that's 70% stabilized, that's been in existence for 10 years, with no expansion potential, that's going to be really tough. But if you can find a conversion opportunity or the donut hole in a state that is booming with those supply demand economics working in your favor on the consumer side, then you can achieve those 20, 25, 30% IRRs on a ground up development or a conversion deal or an expansion.
What do you, when you say conversion deal, what comes to mind?
Yeah. Conversion is just taking a space that is not used for storage today and converting it for storage purposes.
Like a
Macy's, a Kmart, a Shopko, and just converting it into kind of like how Urban Air, I don't know if you've got Urban Air where you are, but out here in Colorado, there's a Urban Air chain, which is like an indoor, like preteen park for trampolines and stuff. And they've just been converting, you know, grocery stores basically into urban air adventure parks. Same thing with storage.
It could be an office. I know I'm a passive investor in an office to storage conversion project right now.
Hotel to storage. Yeah. All sorts of things.
Which is wild because you're looking at this, they've converted it from office to storage. And just like you're saying, the opportunity in this particular area was unbelievable. I mean, it's leasing up at like 30 or 40 units a month. I mean, it's just flying off the shelves as soon as they got their COO, which was kind of crazy to see. So that opportunity exists. You mentioned the money that's coming out of office and going into storage. How are people even getting their money out of office? I mean, talk about something with negative leverage. What's that look like?
I mean, we're seeing, I'm gonna fail to come up with specific examples, but we're talking like institutional level, like Kroll Holdings, Trumbull, BAM Capital, like those size of organizations, dumping their office assets or dumping their office opco partners and selling them off, whether it's at pennies on the dollar or not, and they are rebalancing their portfolio to not reinvest that into office, but say, let's find alternative assets, self-storage being the darling of the alternative asset space inside of commercial real estate.
Got it. Very, very interesting. What's debt look like on self-storage right now?
Debt is just as attractive in self-storage as it was anywhere else. And now that's a misnomer because nothing is attractive in debt. I use that to say it is just as attractive as any other lending rate outside of the agency world. So you're not going to ever beat, you know, government-backed loans like you would get in housing. But outside of that, you can get self-storage lending rates are akin, if not better, than office lending rates today, if not better than retail rates today. You can still find like kind of the needle in a haystack, sub-6, low 6% interest rate. Although the majority of what you are seeing on average when you make those phone calls are high 7s, low 8s. And then you're kind of getting to the riskier stuff of 9, 10 and even double digits, you know, interest rates.
Anybody doing long-term fixed rate on that or is it all floating debt?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You can find long-term fixed rate either by way of, you know, like doing shorter term or by doing a swap or some other derivative that creates that fixed rate despite starting with the floating rate.
Got it. Okay. Very, very cool. Have we seen, maybe you've answered this already and forgive me, I'm riding the short bus here today, but have you seen seller prices come up as interest rates have also climbed? Or not, excuse me, seller prices go down rather. Like have we seen that sellers become more realistic or is it still?
Yeah, so I drove the acquisitions team and was very familiar with that up until about 7-8 months ago. So I've started to fall off of my kind of a thumb on the pulse of things, but we haven't seen the correction that you would assume with interest rates climbing. So number one, we've only seen rental rates correct by 3% with all this inflation maneuver, and that is incremental street rates, not in place rates. So revenue is still going up at self-storage consistently in the industry. And you look at the REIT level reporting, revenue still climbs quarter after quarter after quarter. The incremental customer rates might be decreasing, but you've got 1 month leases. You can do existing customer rate increases after providing that discounted rate almost immediately if you choose to. So we're still seeing rates increase. So it's an inflation hedge. Right. So we haven't seen the pricing correction in response to the interest rates that you might assume because you've got investors coming out of longer term lease product like office, like retail, like industrial for the purposes of hedging their inflation and going into short term lease product like self-storage because they see the future potential of that inflation benefit. So yes, we have seen pricing come down a little bit, But now instead of, you know, pricing to a 4.75% cap rate on a T3, we're maybe pricing to a 6% cap rate on a year two pro forma. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a different heuristic to kind of come to the same pricing or margin of error pricing as we were just a couple of years ago.
Right. Now that's very, very interesting. Thank you for taking the time to give us kind of the brief snapshot on where the self-storage industry is today and kind of what's driving the pricing mechanism behind that. Certainly appreciate that. Let's hear what your thoughts are on the commercial real estate market as a whole. Like, where is opportunity? If that's still one that people are, you know, fighting tooth and nail over to get involved in, where do you see opportunity today?
Yeah, I think commercial real estate just doesn't have the spreads that it did for the last decade. I mean, it was, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have a sentiment that there was a time where raising capital was on the easier side of the spectrum, if you wouldn't just blatantly say easy. And that's because you could achieve like a yields and IRR just by consequence of appreciation that was happening in commercial real estate in general. That appreciation has evaporated as a result of interest rates climbing. And maybe that appreciation will return if and when interest rates decrease. But for right now, you do not get the cash flow that you're used to getting after the last decade and a half. You do not get the appreciation that you're used to getting after the last decade and a half. So kind of commercial real estate wide, it's just not a very attractive time to be in commercial real estate relative to yields that you can get in other places. And, you know, modern portfolio theory suggests that up to 30-35% of somebody's portfolio should be in alternative assets, with real estate being the largest segment of it. About 9-10% of the average portfolio contains real estate. So there's a long way to go for alternative assets to kind of climb to 35% to get to that modern portfolio theory number. But there's a lot of other segments of alternative assets like precious metals, operating businesses, secondaries, private equities that have not been tapped into nearly as much. And I think that those yields are more attractive today than what commercial real estate offers. And that's probably going to be for the next 18 months at least.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I'm testament to that. I mean, that's what we're investing in right now is operating business simply because it is inflation resistant. It's recession resistant. Like it's stuff that spins off cash flow at rates that commercial real estate just simply can't.
And yeah. I'm more interested in the activity of how the space is being used right now than the value of the space itself.
Right.
As an investor mindset.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. That makes a heck of a lot of sense. So you've been through, you know, all of this here with Spartan here up until, you know, 7-8 months ago. And what do you do with your time now? Like when you talk about these things and you think about, okay, alternative investments, operating businesses, what are people doing with the space? Like what piques your interest today?
Yeah. And the way that I found my way to the partnership at Spartan was through the Best Ever Conference, which I founded with Joe Fairless the year before joining up with the guys at Spartan Investment Group. And that conference has been a North Star for me because I've been building it to service me as an avatar consumer of the conference. Who do I want to learn from? Who do I want to meet? Who do I want to be surrounded by? And let's just kind of create all of the details of this conference to attract those people, those speakers, those sponsors, those attendees. And I don't know if you've seen that consistently year over year, Sam, but you were there at the first year. Wow. Every single speaker that I picked was somebody that I wanted to hear what they had to say personally, like myself. Great. And that's still the case today. We don't have anything to sell at the conference. We just want to create a community of like-minded people who are intelligent, are having a good time, and want to collaborate with each other to get more out of their businesses and out of their lives. And so that's the premise of the conference today. And I'm just kind of using the small amount of free time that I have after prioritizing my family and my kids, which is the major shift that I made this year, into growing and improving the quality of that conference. And so a lot of our effort this year with the conference coming up in April 9, 10, 11, and 12 in Salt Lake City is to focus more on the needs of the passive investor. So as our conference has grown, we've attracted a lot of participants on the syndication side of the house, the operator side of the house, the people who have their fingernails dirty with the real estate. But the passive investor hasn't had as much emphasis at the Best Ever Conference. So we've built a deal list site that we're going to be launching next week that allows all of the passive investors who are going to be in attendance to review all of our pitch slam competitors and all of our syndication sponsors deals in advance. We're going to have a scheduling feature where you can, without walking around the conference and being vultured upon, you can establish one-on-one sessions with the syndicators that you want to get to know, like, and trust before putting your money in. It is the number one place to show up and look in the eyes hundreds of potential companies to invest your money into. And not just in commercial real estate, but into a growing number of private placement opportunities. And so that's really our focus for growth this year, is just making the conference useful and desirable for the passive investor, which then of course makes it more useful and desirable for the syndicator who's looking to join forces with those passive investors in growing their portfolio.
That's really cool. I like that. What have been some strategies that you've implemented to bring in that more passive investor, or the people, like, how do you draw in that ideal, a client's the wrong word, attendee? How do you do that?
Yeah. So I think the experiments that we've done in the last couple of years are number one. You know, 3 years ago, we tried out this pitch slam. It's kind of like a TechCrunch Disrupt, where a panel of judges decides on who has the best deal of the year. And the first 2 years was kind of pay to play, and it wasn't a very good situation. But last year was a participation by merit. And you were actually, Bricken was one of 12 finalists put up on stage. And that got to compete for prize money of $600,000 by actual investors who were on stage. And so we're going to be repeating that this year. We had over 80 applicants this year. Wow. And we have 12 finalists selected for the stage. So that's number one. Number two, we've been trying to partner with investor communities like IIREC, Intelligent Investors Real Estate Community last year, Left Field Investors this year. Long Angle is another great investor community that we're going to be highlighting on our stage this year. 506 Group is, Mark Robertson, somebody that we've highlighted on our stage before. So trying to partner with investor communities. Number three is building that directory so that you can, in the comfort of your home, review and plan for your time. So you're not just kind of showing up and hoping that something good happens, but rather you're reviewing materials and saying, I actually have an interest in this. I have an interest in a laundromat fund or a Texas vineyard fund. Let me, or neighborhood retail fund that only buys nine caps, or a hotel conversion into a bed and breakfast fund or something like that, right? We've got all of these disparate kind of nuanced data center style, as well as the traditional multifamily retail office opportunities that you could review, but looking at them in advance and determining, I want to interact with these people from the site. That's a new feature, as well as the scheduling one-on-one feature where you can kind of come up with your agenda as a passive investor in advance. And we've got a speed networking session that we've never had before that only accredited investors are allowed to participate in, with pre-vetted sponsors who are either on our Pitch Slam stage or sponsoring the event, so that you can have kind of 5-minute curated one-on-one rapid fire conversations. So those are some of the features that we're adding to the experience this year.
Dude, that's really cool. I love that. And yeah, I've been coming to the conference since 2017, and it's always proved incredibly valuable. So if you're listening to this and you've not been to the Best Ever Conference, go check it out. It is definitely worth your time. You'll get way more out of it than you put in. That's my plug, my shameless plug as well, for the Best Ever Conference. I have benefited
greatly. Appreciate that, Sam.
Absolutely, man. It's been a blast.
You're an OG.
Well, it's fun, man. It's kind of like homecoming. Like, you go back and see all your friends. You're like, hey, man, what's up? I missed everybody. It's been an entire year. I can't believe it. But you also have created an environment where meaningful relationships, if I could speak today, are formed. So that's very, very cool. On the technical side of that, I look at that conference, Ben, and I just kind of go, my gosh, like, this is a ton of work. How have you organized your team, your people, and your time to pull off something of that magnitude? Because honestly, I look at it from the outside, and it seems like you've done it pretty effortlessly.
I appreciate that. The first 4 or 5 years, I did all myself on top of growing Spartan at the same time. We were just starting to have kids then, so it was a little bit easier to do the multitasking.
Right.
But around year 4 or 5, I got burnt out. You know, we had scaled it from, I think the first year we had 170 people. By year 4 or 5, we were at like 800 people. Now this year, it's probably not going to grow just because of the challenging macro environment and people having surplus budgets for marketing and travel, what have you. But we'll have over 1,000 still. And around that year, I said, you know what, we just gotta have to hire some people. And so we've built a team, and now they're in their third year of doing this conference together. And so they've just got a great rapport with each other. and are capable of seeing the bigger picture that's being put in front of them, the strategic plan that's being put in front of them, and executing on that. So I'm very fortunate to be in a position where I only spend about an hour or two a week on that conference up until maybe a week beforehand. And I can use all of my extra mental load to be creative with how can we improve the experience and offer more value to everybody participating.
That's really cool. Ben, I've enjoyed our conversation today. As always, it's a pleasure to get to chat with you. I always feel smarter after those engagements. So appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today. Is there anything else you want to cover here on the show before we wrap this up that's just burning a hole in your mind?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a special discount for your audience. So I don't know what it is, but I don't know if you know what it is, but we're going to have a special discount for your audience that you can put in the show notes. And you can check us out at besteverconference.com. And I hope to see everyone there.
Besteverconference.com. Yeah, check that out. I will get that special discount for our listeners to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast put there in the show notes. You'll have to find the episode on our website in order to find that discount, but it'll be there. And I hope to see you all at the Best Ever Conference as well. So, Ben, thank you again. If our listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more about you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, you can reach me at ben@besteverconference.com.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Ben. Great to see you. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.